Today's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Let us read this passage together. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Amen.
Morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of the covenant by which we have been reconciled to you, through which, Lord, we have become partakers of the first fruits of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that you have delivered us from our sins. Not only the guilt of our sins, but even in this present time, Lord, you are delivering us from the pollution of our sins. So that as we are being transformed by your Spirit, we look with hope to what is promised to us. And that is perfect conformity to Christ's image, which will one day be ours in the life to come. Until then, Lord God, we pray for patience, Lord, and endurance. And we pray for strength and energy, Lord, to strive for holiness, to strive for Christ-likeness, Lord. We confess, Lord, that we cannot do this by our own strength, not at all, but only, Lord, by your redeeming grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit who lives in us, Lord. And so now we pray, Father, that to this end you may reprove us, correct us, comfort us, and encourage us by your word, through the illuminating grace of your Spirit, as we hold fast always to the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which is the only means through which we have received all these saving blessings. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. I would like to remind everyone that we're continuing with our series in 1 John, picking up what we left off last week in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 8 to verse 10. Now, if you recall from our previous text, we were warned about a certain fraudulent view of the gospel. So we read in verse 7 of this chapter, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." The deception we were warned about was this notion that it is possible for a person to have been justified through faith in Christ while making a practice of sinning, living in lawless disregard of God's righteous standard. This was shown to be a false view because while Scripture teaches we are justified by faith alone, the faith that justifies is never alone. We are justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is always accompanied by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as a person who is justified through faith in Christ who is not also a new creation in Christ, who is being sanctified by His Spirit. The moment we place our faith in Christ is the moment we have appropriated the benefits of Christ's atoning sacrifice and His fulfillment of all righteousness on our behalf, so that God may declare us just in His sight. We are justified by faith alone. And yet, faith is never alone in a person, but is ever accompanied by the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work, so that all who are justified through faith in Christ are also being transformed in conformity to Christ's righteous image. True faith, therefore, is verified by the sanctification of one's life. Wherever one exists, the other will be found along with it. And this is the consistent teaching of John's epistle and all of Scripture. Well, our text for today continues this argument introduced in last week's text. So this is what we read. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Do we have any basis for assuring a person who claims faith in Christ while leading an unholy life that they are children of God? Do we have any right to assure churchgoers who make an impenitent, habitual practice of idolatry or sexual immorality or falsehood or theft or covetousness or anything else that violates God's moral law that their profession of faith is true? No, not at all. For the reasons just summarized, to do so would be to deceive them. Yet I wonder how many Christians are guilty of deceiving lawless people in this very way, merely because they happen to attend a church and call themselves Christian. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Yes, and we read on. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Not only are such people outside the kingdom of God and strangers to his saving grace, but according to our text, they are of the devil, living as his willing followers. But isn't that a bit harsh? A follower of the devil? Yes. The Apostle John, sometimes known as the Apostle of Love, writes, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil." And if you recall earlier in this epistle, John wrote in verse 4 of this chapter, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Let no one deceive you. Whoever makes a practice of sinning and does away with the guidance of God's moral law, regardless of whatever theological rationale they may come up with to justify their lawless way of life, is of the devil." And as we're about to see, this is not harsh. This is not extreme. This is not poetic hyperbole. This is an incontrovertible conclusion based on the character of the devil and the purpose for which Christ was incarnate into this world. So with that said, let's turn to our first point. Point number one, the reason the Son of God appeared. So once again, we read in verse 8 of today's text, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now let's consider for a moment, what are the works of the devil? According to verse 8, the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Since the moment Satan decided to rebel against God, he has been sinning continuously in an attitude of impenitent defiance towards God. The devil has been sinning from the beginning. Now, it is true, of course, that even the godliest of believers sin. But as we learned earlier in this series, all believers, from the most infantile to the most mature, have the first fruits of the Spirit, which refers to their regeneration and sanctification. They have been given a foretaste of the perfect conformity to Christ's image that is promised to them in the life to come, in the present, as the Holy Spirit transforms them in Christ-like righteousness and holiness. The Holy Spirit has formed in them a new heart, responsive and inclined towards God and His Word, and dwelling in all who are regenerated by His power. God's Spirit energizes them to will and to work for the purpose of pleasing Him. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So genuine children of God do sin, but they are at war with sin and overcoming sin as God's Spirit empowers them to will and to work towards Christ like holiness. So the Holy Spirit at work in them ensures that believers will not continue to live in the lawless rebellion of spiritual death, but will rather seek to please God, submitting to His commandments with increasing consistency and depth. And this, of course, is precisely what the devil does not do. The devil has been sinning from the beginning in constant and continuous rebellion against God's righteous standard. The devil is the prototypical practitioner of sin. And all who make a practice of sinning, whether they know it or not, are following his lawless leadership and example. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. So going back to that question, what are the works of the devil? Well, clearly the works of the devil consists of all the evil that the devil foments in his heart and commits. In other words, the works of the devil is sin. He was the first to sin and the first to instigate sin in man, which has led to the misery of humankind ever since. And so we read in verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason for Christ's incarnation, for His coming into the world, was to destroy sin. And this is what was stated earlier in verse 5 of this chapter. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God appeared to take away sins. They're both referring to the same purpose. Christ appeared not only to take away the punishment of our sins, but to take away sins altogether, to bring an end to sin, to bring to nothing the works of the devil. Thank the Lord that He appeared to take away the guilt and punishment of our sins through His atoning death. But thank the Lord that He has appeared to do more than that. He appeared to take away sins altogether, its punishment and its pollution, and finally in the end, its very presence. And that is why all who are justified are being sanctified. As Titus 2:14 makes so clear, Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Sanctification. For this reason, Christ appeared to destroy the works of the devil. For all who put their faith in Christ, he has done away with sin's punishment once and for all through his atoning death. And now he is destroying sin's pollution by placing his Holy Spirit within us in order to purify us, to sanctify us, to make us more like himself. But if the works of the devil are not being destroyed in us, if we are making a practice of sinning, just as we did before we claimed faith in Christ, if our various works done in Christ's name obscure the fact that we reject the authority of God's moral law, if our profession of faith is not accompanied by practical growth in holiness, if we think of ourselves as God's children all the while refusing to purify ourselves as Christ is pure, 1 John 3:3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure, then we can be sure that we do not know Christ savingly and are just as much followers of the devil as we ever were. Once again, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So, if there be any person whose heart is cut by these words, repent. Repent of this life following the devil and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith for deliverance from your sins. Turn to him not merely for affirmation. He did not appear for the purpose of making us feel good about ourselves. He appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Yet how many in the church mistakenly think that Jesus affirms them even as they follow the devil by making practice of sinning. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil, to take away our sins, to not only cleanse us from sin's guilt, but to purify us from sin's pollution until we will one day stand with him gloriously free of sin in every way and perfectly conform to his image. Cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from the works of the devil, to save you from your sins which offend God, damage people, defile self, and makes you a deserving object of God's holy wrath. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from your sins, and his atoning death will be applied to you, and you will receive the promised Holy Spirit for power to live a holy and godly life, a transforming life that grows in his likeness, a life in fellowship with God's children, a life in fellowship with him and with God. In Acts 26, we learn that Jesus commissioned Paul as his apostle with these words: to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And this the Lord will do for us if only we would repent of the devil's works and turn to Christ for his salvation. Which brings us to our second point. The seed of God that abides in his children. So we read on in from verse 9 to 10. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So in verse 9, new birth is likened to a seed that God has planted in the believer. Now, we don't need to be a botanist or a biologist to know that from out of a seed, something develops, grows, and matures into full bloom. That is precisely what happens to all who have been born of God. They develop, they grow and mature into full bloom. When we are born again, God's power begins to work in us. For the first time, we truly listen to the gospel. For the first time, the eyes of our hearts are open to Christ's glory as he's proclaimed in his word. For the first time, our hearts are no longer hard towards God, but open, receptive, inclined towards him. For the first time, we are willing to turn to God in Christ and trust him. And from this radical change that marks the beginning of God's transforming power over our lives, we continue to change as we grow, develop, and mature in Christ-like purity and godliness until in the resurrection we reach the full bloom of perfect conformity to Christ. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. So if this power is at work in us, how could we keep on sinning the way that we did back when we were spiritually dead? Obviously, we cannot. If we are born of God, God's seed abides in us. God's power is at work in us so that we are growing, changing, developing, and maturing in Christ-like righteousness. And there is no such thing as any person who has been born of God for which that is not true. God's seed abides in all who are born of him. And so we read in verse 10 of our text, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Who the children of God are is evident by the practical presence and growth of Christ-like righteousness in their lives. Having already dealt with the guilt of their sins by his atoning death, the Son of God is now destroying the pollution of their sins by his indwelling Spirit. That is how we know that we are born of God. The Son of God is destroying something in our lives. What is it that he is destroying? He is destroying the works of the devil. And he is purifying us in the likeness of his image. Holiness of life, therefore, verifies true faith. There's no way around it. This is what Scripture teaches, and the only way we can get around that is if we deny Scripture. Holiness of life verifies true faith. We are justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone, but is always accompanied by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. As J.C. Ryle once wrote, "The Spirit is compared to the wind, and like the wind, he cannot be seen by our bodily eyes. But just as we know there is a wind by the effect it produces on waves and trees and smoke, so we may know the Spirit is in a man by the effects he produces in the man's conduct. It is nonsense to suppose that we have the Spirit if we do not also walk in the Spirit," Galatians 5:25, "we may depend on it as a positive certainty that where there is no holy living, there is no Holy Ghost. The seal that the Spirit stamps on Christ's people is sanctification. As many as are actually led by the Spirit of God, they, and they only, are the sons of God," Romans 8:14. And so, as we conclude, let us examine ourselves and let us consider, does the seed of God abide in us? If it does, then we will be growing, maturing, developing in conformity to the righteous image of our Lord Jesus Christ. By this it is evident who are the children of God. Let's pray. Holy Father, we now pray, insofar as what has been preached is in keeping with your word, that those who are your people, those who are chosen by you before the foundation of the world, those who are indwelt by your Holy Spirit, we pray that by the illumination that you give us of your word, that we would receive your word, believe it, apply it, accept it. Oh, and we also pray, Lord, for those who may indeed be of the devil at this present time. We pray, Lord, you would be so gracious, Lord, that they too would heed your word through new birth, and that they would repent, and that they would turn to Christ Jesus, not just for affirmation, but for deliverance from sin, so that they may know you, and that they may have the security of your salvation and have within them your indwelling Spirit, so that they would no more make a practice of sinning, so that they would be repentant children of God who are growing, who are overcoming their sins by the energy and power and strength that you give through the first fruits of your Spirit. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.